Star.
And Jack Bonney.
Signing on with PiratePods.com. We just got back from Mexico, and we are at the House of Blues in the bowels of backstage with this wonderful band, Cissé. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi. Carol C. So Carol, just before we begin, I have to tell you that I interviewed David Schaumer from Bole to Harlem, and he used to be Duke Mushroom, and he wanted to say hi.
Aw, Duke. Yeah, he actually played a show with us when we first started at Cissé.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. And do you know him too?
Yep.
Yeah.
Totally. What's up?
It's a little shout out to you here. So how did you guys all meet up? I know, Cliff, you knew Carol from before, is that right? And then how did that all work out?
We were introduced through a mutual friend of ours, a kid I used to work with at a TV station in Manhattan, you know, kind of government TV. It was going nowhere, and a friend of mine knew, his girlfriend knew Carol. And he would see me come into work every day with bags under my eyes, like, what the heck do you do all night? You know, why do you look so tired? I'm like, because, you know, when I get home, I'm trying to do this music thing, I'm working with music. And he's like, it's funny, because my girlfriend has a friend that is trying the same thing. You know, maybe I should introduce you to. And we never got to really meet, you know. It was more like, just give me some of your music, and I'll try to get it to her. And so this exchange of music, you know, on cassette tapes. I would give her some stuff I'm working on, and Carol would give me music that she was into at the time, and we had a real similar taste, I guess, in the upcoming, like, trip-hop, even drum and bassy, more electronic styles of music. And for me, being, like, you know, being more into the making of the tracks and the beats and stuff, it was like, after hearing, you know, what Carol was into, and then finally getting to meet her and hearing her voice over some of the stuff I was messing with, even though it was really rough how we were doing it, I knew, like, wow, this is kind of the area I want to venture into. And it was just like, you know, let's try this.
Oh, I know, Carol, you're so little, but you have such a huge voice. We were just privy to watching their sound check, and we're in the House of Blues in San Diego, and oh my God, your voice just bellows through the whole place. It's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So how does one of your songs evolve from an idea to an actual piece?
Well, I think we tried different processes, but for the most part, Cliff has a lot of instrumental tracks that he messes with. I mean, he's always making something. So I'll tell him, you know, let's sit down and go through your instrumental tracks, and I'll pick like 20 that stick out more than the others. And I'll take them home, I'll put on some headphones, and I'll play the instrumental a few times till a melody comes out of me. And then I usually create the melody first, and then I fit words into the melody.
So how do you decide when you're going to use Spanish versus English?
The melodies kind of come out sounding phonetically like one or the other. Yeah, okay. All by themselves. I don't know.
Very interesting.
Wow. And then it gets mutated even more, because although it's us two in the very beginning process, you know, we still have a great band of friends of ours that they have different ears for different things that we may not have. The experience or the know-how of classical, you know, style or this, and
like
so
Latin percussion.
So, you know, our violin player may hear something, and, you know, out of the blue of just, I guess, being influenced by what we're doing, but to bring her side of, you know, her specialty, it's kind of like, oh wow, this is amazing, you know. And the cool part about that, I think, for us has always been, we leave it open enough so that our band can get involved and that their voices can be heard too. It's not like, okay, here's the sheet, here's the paper. It's so, you know, it's written in stone. If you don't play this, you know, forget it.
Well, no, out. I mean, we usually build like the foundation first, and I take his tracks and I edit them too, and I rearrange them to fit. Yeah. Like, I think I hear a chorus here, and maybe a pre-chorus. So it goes through a lot of different steps, the track, before they hear it. But then they hear it, and then they come and they're like, actually, I think maybe a Brazilian rhythm in this part, and like, you know. So it just keeps evolving until we're all happy with it.
Yeah, right. Then, yeah, I saw Neil, the percussionist. That's his name, right, Neil?
Yes.
Saw he has a variety of percussion instruments that he uses, like a talking drum, some wind chimes, and everything like that.
Yeah.
He
brings in. Percussion musician.
He is. He's great. I saw him over there with all his instruments.
Yeah, he's got a lot of energy, and he's so interested in so many different styles. He's always going to school to learn a new. Like, he learned how to play cajon recently. Wow. Which is the Spanish box.
Really?
Yeah, wow. and he uses it on a lot of our tracks. Then he picked up the dumbek, which is a Middle Eastern drum. He's just always, like, trying to learn something new, and he incorporates, you know, his new skills to our music, and it keeps it fresh and fun.
Exactly. It brings a new light to some of the stuff that we weren't thinking about. We might say, okay, we know we want percussion in this, and here's some of the percussion that I programmed, and it's, you know, it's basic, it's simple, but, you know, to get a real percussionist take on it and to say, you know what, a cumbia rhythm would really work fresh here, not a traditional, you know, be like, oh damn, I didn't even know what the difference really was. So
and then there's the stuff that goes on in the studio where like these quote unquote mistakes happen, and you're just like, that's the best thing we've ever heard. So you know, you just never know what's gonna happen.
And the lady that plays the violin, she's amazing.
Tara Reynolds. She's incredible. I mean, it's interesting because I feel that when we first started this group, we were all newbies at this, you know. Carol had some singing experience, but nothing as a solo artist, nothing as a real, you know, writer. And, you know, she and myself, like, taking classes at you know, technical, like, production school, you know, to learn how to work these beat machines and stuff like that. So our drummer even never really took lessons. So it was like we were starting this organic, like, homegrown grassroots type of group. And it's still ever evolving because, you know, the longer we've been doing this, it's like we learn something every time, you know. And so to have somebody like Tara, who's very experienced, it kind of raises the bar for everybody too, to be like, okay, you know, we got to get our shit together in a way. And
yeah, she's amazing. Yeah. She's like watching the symphony.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. One person
in the House of Blues. Like you said, I heard you during the sound check saying you always sound amazing here. She does. Carol, one of your fans wrote to us and asked. They said that they've seen a lot of photos of you with butterflies, and they wanted to know what if this means something specific with the group or specific with you.
Actually, not even as a kid was I into pictures of butterflies or anything like that. I worked with a producer named Nicodemus, and he, for some reason, wanted me to write a song that was titled Mariposa in Spanish, which is butterfly. And I'm not sure why, but he was like, I want you to write a song, and I want it to be about a butterfly. And the song is actually kind of about a butterfly. I don't say the word butterfly in the song, but ever since then, people have been giving me butterflies. And like, yeah, and a lot of photographers will bring butterflies as props.
Really?
Yeah, wow. No, it's this whole butterfly thing. I have butterflies in my room now. All one song, but
wow. He saw this in you.
What about this?
Yeah, no, I think it's the whole gypsy, you know, colorful thing.
Colores
saw on your MySpace that you have a video for your song More Shine, and More Shine is a real popular song with your fans. And who filmed that video for you guys?
Anders Armacher. He's a young kid. He approached us, you know.
Did he graduate from NYU? Is that what?
I think he was still in NYU. He didn't. He wasn't graduate. He probably has graduated since then. But a young kid, real passionate, you know, wanted to get into the video field, film, and was like.
I think initially he downloaded our free music download on iTunes of More Shine.
Okay.
And he told a friend that he really loved the song, and his friend happens to be a friend of mine. And he was like, "You're kidding me, I totally know Cisse." Yep. And he was like, "I have to make a video for the song." And he had the concept. I mean, we came up with the original concept, but as soon as we gave him something, he just like ran with it.
Yeah. It was a beautiful video.
Yeah, and it was, you know what, it was, we've never done any real videos and stuff, you know, whether it's because of the backing from our labels and them not really knowing what's the perfect song, you know, for us to spend the time and money on a video and market that and all this stuff. So for us, it was just, it was like, you know what, let's just do this no matter what. We don't need a big budget. It's just like, let's go out there. There's a young kid, he's passionate about it, he likes the music for one, he's from New York, so it's like, you know what, let's just make it happen. And we did it in like one day, you know, a day and a half, and it was cool.
You're based out of New York, right?
Yes.
And are you all from, born and raised?
Him and I were born in Brooklyn.
Can you say Brooklyn?
We don't really have Brooklyn accents.
I know, you don't.
Try to lose that.
Well, no, but I didn't stay in Brooklyn, though. Neither did you.
Neither did I.
We moved, well, I grew up in Washington Heights, which is like little Dominican Republic over there. And you grew up.
And I grew up in White Plains. I mean, I used to live in Laguna Beach for a while. My family moved from Brooklyn to Laguna.
California.
In California, yep. My father was, you know, trying to take a job, but then he was out here. We were out here for like 3 years, and he realized, you know, my family's back east and trying to raise kids. You know, I want them to be around all my family, and same with my mom. So we moved back to the Bronx, lived in the Bronx. From the Bronx, moved to Yonkers, and slowly up and out of like New York, and then right after college, came right back.
Right back.
It was just like, I can't, you know, I did that, saw both sides, you know, the suburban living, inner city living. It was like, okay, this is where it's at.
That's a cool upbringing to be exposed to that many different things, because you meet all different kinds of people.
Totally.
And
my friends are so,
that's cool.
They range, you know, so different, so
eclectic.
Yes.
You can fit in many circles. And your band is like that too.
Totally.
Yeah. Like you can gather those classical music fans. You can gather the Latino, Latin music fans, and the ambiance.
Right. But I think that's
electronica.
It's something subconscious for us. It's not something that we said, no, nowadays people are,
I mean, it makes sense when you look at the group and who's making the music. It's like you heard just his background of moving around the world. And then we have Neil, who's from Venezuela and moved to New York. He's also, I mean, he's traveled a lot, has lived in many places. He's another gypsy. And we all have our stories. And so we've been exposed to so many different types of people and music that we're just naturally just open to whatever.
Even,
and we like to try new things. And
even with like with our bassist, he is born and raised in New York City. And it is, if you know him, you know, he sometimes may come off abrasive, you know, but it's just, it's him. It's New York. It's like it, at its purest form, you know. And all these little things, I think, balance out our group and give it the uniqueness, you know, like, okay, of course it's Carol's strength in her voice, you know. But in the background are personalities that, you know, make this thing come to life, you know.
Oh, well, it's kind of like what you were saying, going back to the process of creating a song, yeah. when you were talking about YouTube kind of getting the fundamental, the foundation mm-hmm. of it, and then allowing everyone to kind of bring in their own. It's because of that yeah. your music has exactly. takes on all of those characteristics right. of it that make it so great. So it makes sense.
Absolutely.
What's your favorite song to play live?
Wow. Well, you can say yours.
Well, I'm kind of feeling one of our new tracks that we're playing. So
Is it Goes On?
Yeah.
Oh.
It Goes On. Just because it's a different style of what we're normally used to playing. You know, we tend to, just because of the way I hear Carol's vocals, I know there's this soothing side, you know, to what she does, and sometimes it's fun to, you know, follow that and think about that when I'm making something, and other times it's like, you know what, let's try something harder, dirty.
He actually gave me, yeah, he gave me the track for this hip-hop project we were doing. He was like, this is not, you know, for CSA, so I made it different, it's like a little harder, some hip-hop stuff, and I was like, yeah, let me check it out. I ended up writing something for Cisse, but that's fun for me, stuff that's yeah. different, you know.
Different, yeah, right. Yeah, we have a couple new tracks. I mean, we're trying to stay as, you know, productive as possible. You know, it is hard, though. It's one of those things where, you know, there's six people in our group, and trying to get everybody together, you know, to, like, stop their normal lives sometimes, and families and kids and leaving the wife and coming to do this, and, you know, it's a definite challenge, but... You know, after playing shows, like coming out here to the West Coast and playing shows in San Francisco, L.A., and San Diego, and just feeling the response from the audience sometimes. I think we're a little jaded when we're in New York City and we know that, oh, there's going to be an audience, you know, there are people, they're going to come through. But when we play in some of these other cities and, you know, fans show up and just are, like, going nutty. Like, damn, man, this is amazing. It's really
making, well, when you make good music, you collect good people, yeah. and you just yes. people get interested. And well, we like to end all of our interviews with some sort of pirate shout out because we're pirates. We don't pirate music. We're just kind of leading the way on the web
okay.
to have podcasts.
I'd like to make a shout out to Jack Sparrow.
And Carol, do you have a little pirate in you?
She's got a little captain in her. After tonight,
I can give you a little story about my mom's parrot.
Perfect.
Yeah, my mom's parrot's name was Cuca, and her favorite song to sing was, do you know Mi Viejo San Juan?
No.
Oh, Mi Viejo San Juan. And she had the best vibrato I have ever heard any bird have.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah,
oh.
that's my parrot story.
Awesome. No.
Tell me the truth.